I'm really excited that it is so bright and sunny outside. And I know I'm kind of a little forward thinking here, but I'm like, oh man, it is almost time for summer. And then I kind of realized this morning that it's March and there's something called spring here. I'm not really used to it because for me, summer is from March till October, right? So I'm like, March, it's supposed to be hot and warm. And I can stop wearing my jackets, but I don't think I can ever do that here. But so I'm trying to get used to it, but I'm really excited that it's getting warmer. The winter has been pretty dreadful for me. I was like, oh, it's been so cold. So when I started thinking about things like summer, we're doing stuff like going out and playing sports or playing softball. We're doing more things outside. As you're looking, we're having a barbecue and all these things. I'm like, oh, this is great. I love summer. I think I've learned to realize that summer is probably my favorite season, or at least in California, because it's bright and sunny, but it's not like really hot. So I was just like, oh, this is perfect. I love summer. And so when I think about summer, I think of things like a lot of the things that we do here in our church. I feel like during the summertime, our church just kind of flips and we do all these activities. We start off with Bigfoot, which is our youth retreat in May, end of May. And then we have things like our summer mission trip that we were just talking about. We're going to Las Vegas, or we're going to Taiwan. We also have our church-wide retreat. And so we just do a lot of fun things, and we end it with VBS, right? And when we're doing a lot of these things, and a lot of them are going out, reaching out, sharing our faith with those all around us. And that's something that we just do when we're here, like during the summer. We go to these different trips and we do all these different things. I'm really excited because I realize this is going to be the first summer that we're preaching through Acts. And Acts is all about that. Acts is about how the first church, how the first Christians started the first church, and how they're just bringing God's word everywhere they go. It's really cool. So I'm kind of excited about the warmth. I'm excited about being able to kind of actually live out what we've been learning the last few months. And so we have so many opportunities to do that. But mainly, just as we're going through this series called Accelerate, which we're discovering how Christ accelerates our lives in the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's kind of what we're talking about. How Christ accelerates our lives in the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be in Acts chapter 8 today, verse 26 through verse 40. And this is probably the passage that first shows what our series is really about. How we're talking about how Christ accelerates our lives in the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit. We see this right here very clearly. So, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. All right. So let me give you a little quick recap before we go through this. So we got this guy named Philip. He was introduced earlier. This guy named Philip, he's not an apostle. He's just this guy that became a believer. He was one of the seven deacons chosen, so one of the seven people that were chosen to serve the church. And then him and his buddy Stephen and a whole bunch of people were these seven people. He sees his friend and also fellow co-worker, get stoned to death by preaching the gospel. And we see how everyone starts dispersing out of Jerusalem because, their lives are starting to be in danger. And we see this guy, Philip, he goes to Samaria and he's just preaching the gospel. And he gets he's doing this mass preaching. He's out there and he's just all these people, and he's just telling people about Jesus. We see that Samaria, has this big, he's preaching and people are responding, and we talk a little bit about what he's doing. And then we go off to the story about Simon, this magician guy, but it was mainly about what Philip was doing in Samaria. Right, so we see Philip doing this, big time, a lot of people preaching. And then we move over here where Philip, gets called by the Holy Spirit to go down this road, this desert road, meets this Ethiopian eunuch, and God, God's pretty much going, go towards him, go talk to him. And as he approaches, he sees this eunuch reading Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. And he's reading it out loud. And he happens to be reading a passage that's talking about Jesus. And through that, Philip goes, talks to him. And then through that, this eunuch comes to know Christ and gets baptized. And that's like the short end of the story. I mean, so we're seeing today, the point of the story, we're seeing how Philip, this man, no one, he's not like this apostle, no one, I guess in our minds, will think like this super spiritual guy. He's just this guy that came to know Jesus, that's serving him, a person that's probably more like, you know, like me and you, serving Christ, and we see how he's just so, he's sensitive to the Holy Spirit leading him to share the gospel. And so as we go through today, I want us to look at this and look at this passage thinking how can we be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in sharing the gospel? In a sense, we can go, how can we be sensitive enough to allow Jesus to accelerate our lives and the gospel, using us to accelerate the gospel through the Holy Spirit? And we're seeing how the Holy Spirit is leading Philip to do this, and how we can do the same as well, and how we can learn to kind of just sit and see what the Holy Spirit can do through us. All right, so let's go and read from verse 26. And we'll read from verse 26 through verse 29. It goes, "Now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place.' And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go over and join this chariot. We're seeing that God, all right, we see that God leaves Philip over here. So I want to get a little background on what's going on. Right? So we have this area, Ethiopia. It's not the Ethiopia that we're thinking. Right? It's probably where Sudan is now, but in that, you know, that time, that territory is Ethiopia. We got this guy who's a eunuch, he went to Jerusalem, and he's coming back. So we kind of look at this and we kind of gather a few things. All right, we're gathering a few things. One, it's probably Ethiopian, right? You know, Ethiopian eunuch, I'm doing pretty good. Two, he's probably a guy that's what they call a God-fearer. He's not Jewish by his race. He's one of those guys that's most likely, as we read and we see that he's going to Jerusalem, he's going to worship. He's probably Jewish by conversion. That he's a Gentile. He's not culturally Jewish, or he's not racially Jewish, but he has come to embrace the religion. So he's a God-fearer, what they'll call. That he's a Gentile that came to worship the Lord. And so that's why he came to Jerusalem. And so I have a blister, so it's really hard for me to speak. So as we, I know, so I can't really enunciate. So as we see him, as we read this story, we realize that he's probably not, you know, he's not a full-on Gentile, per se, because he knows the Jewish God. And so we see that he's been there, he was at Jerusalem worshiping, and he's coming back. So a little background on that. But we're also seeing that the lines between Jewish people and Gentiles and who Christ is coming for is starting to get blurred a little. And as we read later, we're going to meet this man named Cornelius, who is the very first Gentile convert. But for right now, we're seeing that this guy he's starting to blur the line a little bit. He's an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch at that time, he's pretty powerful. You know, he's in charge of a lot of things. Candace is not the name of the queen in Ethiopia. It's more like a title. The title of Candace, right? So, just kind of a little background. It's not going that there's not a, they're not talking about a particular queen, but Candace is more of her title. So, all right, got that a little bit out of the way. So we're seeing that Philip is led by the Holy Spirit to go towards his chariot. And we're seeing that Philip is walking through the open door God is opening for him. That God, that Philip is walking through this open door, and he's willing to walk through the open door to share the gospel. The question for us is, what are the doors in our life that we need to walk through? Kind of like what Philip is doing. That Philip, he was called by God to go into this. It's just like God goes, go into this road, desert road. He's like, okay, he goes. And he's there. And he goes, hey, there's a chariot. Go talk to this guy. Go toward the chariot. He's like, all right, so the Holy Spirit is just moving him along. He's just moving him along. And he's this guy that's so sensitive. He's so sensitive to the Spirit that he knows where God wants him to go. How can we be like that? How can we be sensitive to the Spirit like that, that moves us along? A little while back, Josh had us going through something called, a program, but he challenged us, especially the Crossing Corps, to have spiritual conversations. He challenged us to have 5 spiritual conversations in the month of May, 5-4-5. And he challenged the Subversive Life group the same thing, and I found it really interesting that when we start placing ourselves, like when we start looking for opportunities to share the gospel, and we start looking for opportunities to advance the gospel and to advance God's kingdom, that the opportunities were actually there all along. Because we can sit here and talk about, like, well, what does it mean to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? How do I know? Because it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard in my workplace to just, what am I going to do? Just bring up Christ and just like start talking about religion to people? You know, what am I supposed to do at school? You know, how do I even bring about this? And we can talk about this and go, oh, it's easy to talk about, right? We should be sensitive in where God leads us. And we should go and just be bold and preach the gospel. But going, all right, you know, down here, how do you do that? And the first thing I realize is being sensitive to the Spirit means that we have to actually keep our eyes open for opportunities and pray for opportunities as well. And I always thought that it was really difficult to do something like that. I thought it was difficult for me to share my faith. But when you start looking for ways to turn that conversation, it's not as hard as you think. So I can give a lot of examples of how Josh and I are really good or really bad at this. More probably bad at this. But there's actually somebody that came to my mind with a story that I want to share. And it's his story, not mine. Because I want to show you that anybody can do this. That it's not like, oh, well, you know, it's Josh because he's the pastor of the church. Or, you know, Dennis, he's just here at church all the time. So he must be really good at this. But there's actually people like you and me, just normal people that can do this. There's this guy that attends our church. He's not a deacon. He's not a pastor. He's a sophomore in college. He's one of my Footprints counselors. So you might know him. He's Brian. And Brian and I meet up and we talk. And what was really cool is we met up and we talked about one of the conversations that we had. A few months back when I was saying that I'm just so tired of sharing the same stories, I want new stories to share. So Brian and I started talking about this because both of us went to Las Vegas. Both of us had these amazing stories from YWAM. And we're talking about, man, I wish we had new stories. And it was cool because just a couple weeks later, we come back together, we meet once a week, and we're talking, and we both had new stories to share. And I want to share his story. He was telling me that he was just working out. He lives in Castro Valley. He's like, he goes to, I guess, the playground area, and he does his workouts, and he's saying that it was nighttime. He's by himself just working out, and he's just doing his thing. Nobody's there. And all of a sudden, he hears somebody kind of approach the area. And typically, you know, like you and I, when somebody comes, we might not say anything. We just kind of let them do their thing, be on their way. But for some reason, he decides to say hi. Okay, that's pretty normal. Back where I'm from, we say hi to random strangers, but that kind of stays there. He goes and he says hi, and the person responds back, hi. And then he kind of goes, yeah, I felt like I could just left it there. But he goes, for some reason, I felt like I needed to continue this conversation. And so he says, hi again. And he starts and he starts talking to this person, like, you know, what are you doing? And they have this conversation. And of course, I was not there. I don't know exactly what that. So he has this conversation with this person and finds out it's this high schooler. This random high schooler that was just in this area, and they were just talking about life. And he just sat there looking and praying for opportunities to share his testimony, to share his faith. And he actually brings her to Footprints. He's actually been here a couple times, and the story's not over yet. I don't know what's going to happen. But I'm going, I mean, that's it. That's what being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's about. It's not doing big and crazy things. And sometimes it's just saying hi and letting God use you while you're having conversations going, how can I bring Christ into this? And it wasn't awkward or forced, but it was natural. But it was deliberate. It was intentional. It was Holy Spirit led. And that's what we're seeing over here, where we see Philip, God just kind of nudging him this way, telling him, go here, telling him, go talk to this person. And we're going, well, how coincidental, well, we know it's not a coincidence, but wow, look at this. What a coincidence, because this guy happens to be reading the Bible. Whoa. Like, you know, it's like God tells him to come here. You need to go towards this chariot. And what do you know? This Ethiopian eunuch is reading the book of Isaiah. So let's read from verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? He says, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. And like a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And that's pretty amazing. We're seeing here that the gospel is shared through words. And you're going, oh, okay. Of course, obviously, right? And we see that the gospel is shared through his word. It's going, first, how powerful is Scripture that he happens to be reading a passage in Isaiah talking about who Jesus is? That's just crazy. And what's even crazier is that what we're seeing is immediately Philip starts sharing the gospel to him with words. With words. And I say this, and I'm emphasizing with words and with what he's saying. It's because I feel like sometime in the 90s, which is it was a good thing that happened. It really was a good thing that happened. That people realize that you can share the gospel, but if you're not really living out the gospel, what you're sharing doesn't really matter. Very astute observation. If somebody tells you that Jesus is loving and you don't act very loving, yeah, people might not exactly believe what you say. But it kind of started, you know, people started taking this and almost in a sense, or at least for me, I can't say for everybody, for me, it almost became an excuse not to have those conversations with people, right? I tell myself, I just need to live out the gospel. that's it. And I had people tell me this and kind of affirm and say, yeah, if you live a certain way, people are going to look at you. Right? You probably stop me when you hear this. People are going to look at you and they go, wow, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. And they want to know. And so they're going to come up to you and then you just have this opportunity. And it was like, yeah, that is great. It's very passive step back. I'm just going to live a really good life and be a really good person. And hopefully somebody comes to me and asks you, why are you so good of a person? And he's just like, that's a great way. Perfect. All right. And so we kind of start this whole movement. It's like, we need to preach the gospel through our actions, not really with our words, because we don't want to talk about it. We just want to live it. Well, yeah, we need to live out the gospel, of course. But now, if you're a believer, it's kind of almost like a foregone conclusion that that is what you're supposed to do. Or that's kind of how God is changing you to be more like Him. But the gospel is not preached through actions. As good as it is, I'm not saying that we should stop like living like Christians, or we should stop living out God's word and stop being nice to people. And that's not the point. But the point is, we can't stop there. It doesn't get anywhere. In Romans chapter 10, Paul writes from verse 13, says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." He goes, "How then would they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him in whom they have never heard? And how are they going to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." As we see the Holy Spirit move us to advance the gospel, it is through our lives, yes. But it is also through His Word. That the Scripture is powerful. And we see that Philip, through this passage that we were talking about, there is passage in Isaiah, this passage foretelling what Jesus had to suffer and go through. Jesus, Philip started with this passage to preach and continue to preach about who Christ was. So naturally, the question is, well, who is Christ? What is this passage about? This passage is about Christ coming and suffering. He was called the suffering servant. He came with humility. As God, He came down. He humbled Himself to be like us, like you and like me. And He came to die on a cross. He paid the penalty for sins. He gave us an opportunity for forgiveness and for relationship and reconciliation with Him. The broken can be healed. The sins can be forgiven. Our relationship with Christ can be made whole once again. And that's what He came to offer. And that's what the gospel is about. About our standing before God, no longer a guilty standing, but made innocent. That we are no longer enemies, but friends. That's the gospel that Philip shared to this Ethiopian eunuch. And that's the gospel that is for you and for me as well. It's powerful. It's life-saving. And we should not be ashamed of it. And a lot of times you might read this and you go, well, how silly would I be to share this to my friends who don't know? But we shouldn't be ashamed of it, because it brings life. And it brings truth, and it brings healing, and it changes people. It changes us. It changes you. It changes me. The gospel shared through words, these words bring life. these words are more than just stories. It's life-giving. And we see that the gospel is shared through words. And Philip, moved by the Holy Spirit, shares this gospel to them, the same gospel I share with you today. We just keep on going. We'll finish this off. And so in verse 36, it says, "And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and he saw the eunuch no more, and he went his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to the towns until he came to Caesarea." And so we see, lastly, that a response to the gospel is baptism. Response to the gospel is baptism. And we see we got Philip and we got the eunuch. They're on this chart. Philip shares the gospel with the eunuch. And it's kind of a conclusion that we know, that we assume through this, the eunuch comes and believes in Christ. And then if you look at your scripture, you're seeing that you're missing verse 37. Because in the later manuscripts, people wanted to make sure that this was very clear. They wanted to make sure that this eunuch is a little bit different than Simon here. Because we saw Simon, this magician guy, get baptized. So they wanted to make sure that this is a real conversion. This is a real conversion, not like this Simon guy. And so they added, you know, this whole phrase like, you know, do you believe in Jesus Christ and blah, blah, blah. And this, you know, eunuch says, yes, I believe. But, you know, people decided to take that out when they translated because it was not in the earliest manuscripts. But as people read this, they understood that this eunuch came to know Christ. And some people decided they wanted to make it clear, but we don't need to know that. I mean, we don't need to make it clear because we know right here that this eunuch came and actually accepted Christ as his own Savior, as his Lord. And so we see that the first response that he has goes by, see some water, and he goes, all right, well, to get baptized, right? I don't know if Philip actually shared with part of the response is baptism, which is very possible because we are seeing, as we have been preaching through Acts, after people, you know, believe upon the name of the Lord, they go and get baptized. Very, it's just kind of like, I believe, and then they dunk him in water, right? And so we see that this is a very natural response, so most likely Philip probably shared it with them. Or maybe the eunuch knew from previous experiences, or I don't know. But for whatever it is, this eunuch understood that the response to Christ, and when you come to believe in Christ, to be baptized. Baptism is not anything magical or special or whatever, you know. It's not like the water's anything. It's not saying that, oh, you're not a Christian until you get baptized. But the question does come up for us here. If you're a Christian and you're baptized, or if you're a Christian and you're not baptized, why? You know, why not? We see that it just seems to be one of the very first responses. Christ tells us to get baptized. It is a commandment. I think a lot of times we take baptism and we want to say that we almost equate baptism as being fully committed. Or at least maybe in my experience, I see a lot of people take baptism like, well, I'm not ready to be baptized. It's almost saying, I'm not ready to be fully committed to Christ. That's kind of odd because When you turn your life over to Jesus as a calm Lord, you have already fully committed your life to Christ. there isn't like the stepping stone from I'm ready to call Christ my Savior, that's cool, but I don't really want to call him Lord yet, and I'll wait till later. Seems like that kind of comes in a hand, it comes hand in hand. You call him Savior and Lord. And so it's not like it's another step of commitment. It's just expressing the commitment that you have already made. So for some of us here, if you're thinking that you're not ready to fully commit through baptism, my question for you is, are you committed at all? I'm not saying that, oh no, I have to hurry up and get baptized, but the question is revealing something in our hearts? Are we ready to fully commit to Christ? Because commitment to Christ is a tangible, this is a tangible expression of our commitment to Christ. By the same token, we have to realize baptism isn't what saves us. You don't just go dunking yourself in water and go, well, that's fine. You know, now I'm a Christian. As if it's some ritual. It's just a tangible expression of what's going on inside. And that's why we're commanded to do it. It's showing that we are dying to our earth, we're dying with Christ, and our old self dies with Christ, and we're rising up a new person. It's just showing what's going on inside. And so for some of us here who are not baptized yet, but who professes in the name of the Lord, I think it's time for us to sit and think and go, well, why am I not baptized? Well, I think it's kind of funny as we go through this passage and through this message, it comes at such an opportunistic time. For some of us here, we're learning how to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. How do I find opportunities to share Christ? Whether it's in your workplace or your family or your school. But we also have things like mission trips at church that helps us learn and see what it means to rely on the Holy Spirit. So not that we just leave it on the mission field, but we can bring it back home. And so we have things like Taiwan and Las Vegas, where we go there to see what it, to learn and see hands on what does it look like to bring the gospel to those who do not have it. As we read in Romans, how beautiful are the feet who bring the good news. For some of us, we're learning maybe who Christ really is. And the Holy Spirit might be speaking and asking you and showing you that this Jesus Christ wants to be in relationship with you. He has come and there's a sacrifice given for you. That perhaps the Holy Spirit is leading you in such a way. Or lastly, the Spirit might be leading you to get baptized. Which, conveniently, we have baptism classes very soon. So today, none of us can leave here and say that I have no tangible response to what I've heard today. Because right here, right now, the Holy Spirit is leading us somewhere. If we're willing to be sensitive to it. Could be He's leading us to learn to have spiritual conversations with our friends and family. It could be leading us to a missions trip so we can deepen and grow in what it looks like to be a missionary everywhere. Whether far or at home. It could be for some of us to take a membership class, whether you believe or not, going, I want to learn more. Or it could be for those who are believers who go, I'm not ready to get baptized, learning, wait a minute, being a Christian is already means I'm already fully committed. I can't take it halfway. And baptism is just showing what I have already what has already been done in my heart, where my old self has died and my new self is risen again. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to us today. Might be doing something. The Holy Spirit is moving. question is, how are you going to respond to him? Let's pray.